hunters would battle these great serpents to prove themselves worthy. But if the hunters lost, they made sure nothing survived.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host Travis.
And I am X.
And we are back on, this is the part three of our huge Alien Saga Rewind, if you will, of the Alien franchise. So last couple episodes, we've talked about Aliens, then we talked about Alien 3, Alien Resurrection. That kind of was the stopping point for a while on the whole Alien franchise. But after years of, would you say, not fan requests, but just the notion of doing crossovers kind of picked up after that in Hollywood, and more money, you know, for studios to make, I guess.
Yeah, so what Freddy, better way? Freddy versus Jason made like $1 billion, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it did actually. No,
did it really? Was that successful?
No, I don't know. But no, seriously. But
that was first, right?
It was around the same time. I know that. Yeah,
I think it came first because Alien AVP was 2004, and I think I remember watching Freddy versus Jason like on DVD in like 2003 or something. So I think that one.
I think
came
you're
first.
Right. I think Freddy versus Jason was the first of the whole crossover franchise. Let's do something big type thing.
Freddy versus Jason was 2003, a year before AVP. So although AVP was in developmental hell for years, they've been trying to make this movie for years.
Well, so much to the point, back, what year did Predator 2 come out? Because that's where we need to start on this thing, Predator 2.
Predator 2, why? What does that have to do with anything? Which came out in 1990, by the way.
Okay. So, by the way, in this movie, we're going to be talking solely about the crossover movies, the AVP, Alien vs. Predator, which ties in nicely to the whole Alien.
Do you think that's... like what started BVS, just using a V. The Batman V, is that why we just use a V now? Because of this? Is this patient zero on that?
No, so I hear that he used BVS just to piss off Buffy Vampire Slayer fans.
God. Every time I see BVS, I think for like half a second, even though my brain knows it, my heart thinks, Buffy? Somebody's talking about Buffy? And then they're not.
Your heart flutters for a second, and then it goes
for a second.
All right, no. But getting back to the topic here, back in 1990, Predator 2 came out. One, it was a quick scene towards the end of the movie. The character Dan Glover, he's in the Predator spaceship, and he sees all these trophies and different weapons and everything. One of the things, in a quick glance that got everybody all riled up, was there was an alien skull just on display. And a collective ooh and ah happened all at the same time. If there was an internet back then, it would have blown up.
Yeah. Although there was an AVP comic prior to Predator 2, technically.
Yeah.
So, but so they didn't create mainstream... the concept. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, credit was due. I forget who wrote it. But everybody thought like, oh my God, do they live in the same universe? And then that spawned tons of people bullshitting. Who would win? In a fight, you know, between Alien versus Predator. What did you? I mean, you probably had those conversations as a kid.
Probably with you, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah. Who did you think would have came out on top?
I was always a sucker for Predator, man. I don't know. I always figured
because he had lasers. Right. I was like, I mean, dude, he's got lasers. Come on.
He's got lasers, detonators. He's a warrior. He's a predator. It's in his name, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So clearly, if they fought, I mean, the Predator would win.
So you went into this movie rooting for Predator, or were you just...
Yeah, me personally. And plus, the only cinematic reference we have for this fight, Predator clearly came on top. He's got the alien skull. Like, clearly, he's already beat him once. Or the species,
yeah.
I should say.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. And he's probably beat a bunch of other aliens, because there was some crazy-looking skulls in that thing.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But Predator for me, you said you're the same way because of lasers. Yeah. So where do you want to start off in this thing? Because this was a movie that got made, like you said before, about 2004. Mm-hmm. And this is what the last movie, Resurrection, came out, what, 97?
So, I want to say that's, yeah.
Yes. So a few years later.
This thing finally, now this idea, 20th Century Fox, you know, I'm going to put a pin in this because it becomes more relevant later when we get to the end of this quote-unquote franchise. But they eventually settled on the director, Paul W.S. Anderson. What do you think about this guy?
I dig his work. I mean, I know he's got some movies that aren't.
I want to throw pages at you, Moliere. I love his work.
yeah, might be
Paul W. Anderson really pumps my nags. No. So you like his work? Like what? What are some of your favorite movies he's done? He's done a few movies.
I mean, mostly, in the genre, mostly action, like in the sci-fi genre. Yeah, I mean, say maybe it's more of a guilty pleasure. The Resident Evil movies, or at least the first one, second one.
He didn't do the second one.
Yeah, he did the.
He did the first, fourth, fifth, and is now about to do the sixth. He didn't do two and three.
Yeah, so he's kind of the mainstay of that series.
Yeah. To me, my favorite movie of his is Event Horizon in, like, 97. That movie is a fucking awesome.
Underrated, I think.
Underrated
I think
movie, man. It's an awesome fucking movie. Everything else... Some of them might get the ranking of guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Like Mortal Kombat or even, I'm going to say it, that Three Musketeers movie. I feel super guilty that I like watching that movie. But
Wait, which Three Musketeers movie?
The one with Mila Jovovich and Logan Lerman is D'Artagnan. And Ray Stevenson is Porthos.
I forgot the week that I was out in the theaters.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz is Richelieu. And Mila Jovovich, his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He married her after, I guess, they made the first Resident Evil together. That it's stupid, but, God, I've seen that movie more times than I should admit to. Pompeii sucked.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, with Jon Snow's in it. Yeah, that movie sucked. The first Death Race is okay. He did that one. The one with Statham.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've ever seen Soldier.
Like his movies, they're not like, I wouldn't say great, but they're the type of movies that like if I'm flipping the channels and I happen to see one of his movies on, I'm probably going to just, it's something that I could be watching. I'm not going to stop and just watch it for a while.
He's kind of like, it seems like his movies have like a Michael Bay-ishness to them, but they're much smaller scale. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you don't get as
he's got a certain style. He's got a certain style to his movies.
Yeah. So I don't know. I get when I heard he was directing it, I was like, eh, that's fine. At that point, he had only done like Resident Evil, Event Horizon, Mortal Kombat, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's cool. Yeah, he's fine. And then when I heard they're making a PG-13. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I think it's strike one on this one.
Yeah. There's six movies behind this franchise, including both Predators, and all of which are fucking rated R movies.
Right.
You're going to do a PG-13 AVP movie. So,
Now, do you think that's just a result of just studios wanting to attract more of an audience?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because what other fucking reason? It makes no sense at all.
So you know all the violence, money. You know all the violence and language that's made these movies so successful in the past. Let's just tone it down a little bit. We don't need all that.
Yeah. So I don't know which version. Okay. I guess we start getting into these movies. AVP. Now there is a director's cut or an extended cut. Which one did you watch?
I have the DVD, and I think on the DVD it's the unrated cut. I can't remember if it AVP the unrated cut or is it AVP R the unrated cut?
I don't know.
is I had the DVD copy and whatever's on that is what I watched.
Yeah, I think I watched the extended one. It gave me a choice, but the only difference I can remember is in the is with the opening, the very beginning. And my DVD was being wonky, so I had to skip chapter one. So I didn't even get to see the one difference.
Actually, I take that. Yeah, now that you say that, I did watch that one because I do remember that alternate opening sequence. So the extended
in 1904.
Yeah,
right? 1904. It's at a whaling station, 1904. That's okay. Yeah. What happens? I just remember it opens there, but I forget what actually happens.
It just shows basically a team in the Antarctic, and they basically get killed by a predator.
Okay.
that's pretty much it.
And then it cuts to modern days, and there's an alien queen floating in space, and we see it silhouetted in the sun. And then it kind of moves in the light, and it's just a satellite.
Yeah, it's clever.
I kind of dug that. I was like, holy shit, it's an alien queen. Oh, it's a satellite that just looks like a queen. But that's cool.
Apparently, there was a lot of homages and stuff like that, shots that Anderson did in this movie that was just, like I said, just homages to Alien, the first Alien movie. So mm-hmm.
That's the only one I noticed. So it turns out this Wayland satellite station, like in Nebraska, gets like some heat bloom in Antarctica. So they're like, we got to go check it out. So we cut to a montage of them recruiting all these experts. Yeah. And we get a new Black Ripley. She's climbing mountains in Nepal. And we get like a Mexican Indiana Jones. And he's like finding bottle caps in Mexico. And then like that's about it.
Pretty not much of a montage. Yeah. Well, it's... Because they meet up with the rest of the team in the...
At least the Armageddon montage. They give us like five dudes being recruited for this team. You know, we got Buscemi, we got Michael Clark Duncan. Yeah, we got a good montage. Got some Aerosmith going. This is just two guys, but whatever.
You
got
to have a good montage.
You need a montage. Even Rocky had a montage. So we're in a helicopter, and Black Ripley, who I will just henceforth refer to as Blipley, she's on a chopper with Spud from Trainspotting, Ewan Bremner, who's like a chemical engineer or some shit. And their team musters, and we finally meet their host, a Mr. Wayland.
Yes.
A name we recognize in the Alien universe, played by none other than my nigga, Mr. Lance Hendrickson.
A round Lance of applause for Lance Hendrickson. Yeah. Round of applause. Yes.
Lance Hendrickson, son. So he briefs them on what they're all doing here. Turns out they found a pyramid buried deep in the ice in Antarctica, and Wayland wants to get there ASAP as possible.
Yeah, because some other expedition teams, they found it too, and he wants to be the first one to claim it basically for himself as for his discovery,
to his legacy.
To make a legacy.
Yeah, because we find out that he's dying. Like Blipley walks in on him and he's taking some medication or some shit, and she's like you don't have to go, and he's like, I have to go. It's actually a pretty good scene. He's like, I have to go. You know, I want to leave a legacy and everything like that. What I leave behind, and she tells a story about how her dad did the same thing. You know, he climbed a mountain at 14,000 feet, opened a bottle of champagne. She's like, I had my first drink with my dad at 14,000 feet. And then he died of a blood clot on the way down. Mm-hmm. And Lance Hendrickson's like, you think that's the last thing he remembers, the pain, or having a drink with his daughter at 14,000 feet. He's like, I need this. I got to do it. Which is, I don't know, it's cool. Like, she tells her about her dad, and then he schools her on how her dad probably felt. He's never even met the dude. But yeah, you know, he's rich, and he wants to leave his legacy, and if that's how he wants to go, then who are you to tell him, man? Let him go out the way he wants to. How do you want to go out?
Not put me on the spot or anything.
Yeah.
if that was the case where I knew I was dying or something, I'd probably want to go out and just do whatever I wanted to. I don't know.
Yeah. I want to go out old. In my bed, with a belly full of wine and a beautiful woman's mouth around my cock. Or something like, I don't know. Anyways. Intercut in all this montage of them gathering all their gears and doing this kind of shit, we get a couple shots of the Predator ship.
Yes. But
it's very vague. All you see is, like, Predator monitors or Predator helmets or, you know, things like that. We don't actually get a look at the Predators.
That was another homage, by the way, to the first Alien movie. Like all like you were saying, shots of like the computer and the helmets on the screen and everything, just like how Alien started off, where they're showing the interior shots.
Oh,
of the
first
shuttle.
Alien?
There's like a lettering and stuff that pops up as a reflection on the Predator's helmets, just like, you know, just like the helmet did in the first movie.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so. Like I said, that first Alien movie, like, that opening, which some people are like, oh, it shows you how confined... Oh, I was just bored. Yeah, Ridley Scott. Anyways, so there's a cool shot of Wayland. He's sitting at a computer, and he has a pen, and he has his palm on the table, and he just kind of, like, taps it in between his fingers. And now, that's a reference I got.
Yes, yeah.
From the knife scene with him and Bill Paxton or whatever. I dug that. I was like, oh, look, he did the hand thing. That's so cool.
Now, do you think? Okay. Obviously, you know, he's from the Alien franchise. He played Bishop. Storyline wise, do you think that he, like, Wayland? Well, Wayland couldn't because he, what happens in this movie, but, like, how do you think his image became that of Bishop? Like, do you think,
Okay, we're going to talk about this now. Okay. This
character
of Waylon. No, because it kind of gets retconned in Prometheus. Guy Pearce goes on to play Waylon. But in Alien 3, which takes place way in the future, Lance Henderson plays Bishop as a human who designed the Bishop android.
Right.
Like, I can see the Weyland-Yutani growing to be a big corporation, and then they put out these robots, and as homage to their founder, they make it look like him, who's probably been dead for decades. I'll buy that.
Okay.
But the fact that he was a human in Alien 3,
which was already
out when this movie was made, and then the fact that he gets retconned again in Prometheus, there's a lot of confusion about the human character of Weyland.
Yeah.
So it's best not to think about it.
You'll go cross-eyed.
Yeah, that goes for you too, listeners. So yeah, it's just best not to think about it. Yeah. So moving on, they finally get to the site on the ice where the pyramid's buried. And it turns out that the drilling crew, they can open up their cases a bit early because somebody's already drilled a beautiful hole straight down to the pyramid at like a perfect angle. Oh, we get a shot of the aliens, of the predators, shooting a laser down and basically drilling it. And the guy shows the light up at one of the houses, which has like a perfectly circular burn. Like, clearly, a laser came from the sky and nobody's freaked out by this.
It's like, that's peculiar.
Yeah, like freaking God just shoved his finger in the ice and nobody's like, that's peculiar. Get out. Jake, we gotta go, baby. Just get out of the house. But they decide to go down anyway. And then we get another clip of the aliens gearing up. They're like grabbing knives and like shink shink. It's like the opening of Batman Forever or Batman and Robin.
I thought of that too. Yeah. I exactly thought of that, yeah.
That's exactly what I thought of. And then they turn around and we get a shot of the alien of the predator's ass.
And the nipples.
Yeah. Predator nipples. Well, I mean, they do wear just like fishnet. I bet they probably got their nips poking out.
Mm-hmm, probably, yeah.
So they finally make it down. They see the pyramid. And Waylon is like, thank you. Thank you, all of you, for this. And that right there hit me. This is the first time in the whole Alien franchise where, quote-unquote, Waylon or the company or whatever isn't a dick-sucking douche. He's actually a good guy for once. Which is actually a nice change of paste.
Change of paste, yes.
Yeah, like it's a better kind of paste that works better. Have you ever heard that analogy? It's a change of paste.
Clearly, that was
meanwhile. Yeah.
No, but you're right though. Yeah, it was cool to see like he wasn't a dick the whole time. Mm-hmm. But maybe that just shows how much. I guess this takes place long before what happens in all the past movies. Because actually, I think this takes place like 7 years after the events of Predator 2. So like,
yeah, because Predator 2 took place in the future. I think it took place if it's 7 years and this 2004. Yeah, no, it's right. Predator 2 came out in 1990, but it took place in 1997.
Okay, so 2004. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Right? No. Yeah.
Yeah, because Predator 2, they had like slightly better guns and slightly, you know. It was the old not too distant future thing.
Yes.
before it was a cliche. So we get a shot of Mama Alien. She's totally frozen. Mm-hmm. She's Elsa the Ice Queen, all chained up, all BDSM, and then she starts getting like electric shocks, and then she kind of like wakes up, cracking ice off of her. Like she's been in hibernation, but she's Mama Alien's waking up.
And right now, we don't know what the hell's going on. As a viewer, we don't know what's going on. All we know is there's this old temple, and the predators are coming down. The humans actually, when they went into the temple, they stepped on a little lever, whatever, and that's what activated the alien queen to rise up from the whatever she was frozen in.
Is that what did it?
Yeah.
They stepped on a little platform. I thought the predators did it, like from remote. I assumed. I don't remember the people activating it. I must have been tuning out of that scene. Yeah. I just assume.
No, they show them, because they show them walk in, and they show one dude like step on a, they're walking, and they step on a platform, and it goes down for a second. Like they just activated a switch or something.
Oh, it's like
and
Indiana Jones. Or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so they do it. Okay, cool. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of, there's this whole pyramid is just like tons of hieroglyphs of aliens and predators fighting, and it looks cool. It looks ancient, but it's clearly aliens and predators on the wall.
Right.
Which is, I thought that was a kind of a cool idea.
Well, we're starting to get pieces of the clue what's going on here, because they have two archaeologists with them, and they're like, it's Egyptian, or, and then, no, wait, some of this is Aztec, and they, like, there's all these different cultures.
And this is Cambodian. It's like three cultures, separated by hundreds of years, by thousands of miles, and they all happen to kind of exist in this thing. So that's cool. So they come across the predator's freezer armory, and they find three shoulder cannons hidden with an Aztec calendar combination lock safe. And they take the guns, despite Mexican Indiana Jones telling them not to. And then that activates like a lockdown in the sacrificial chamber where a bunch of the eggs... Oh, by the way, the mama alien's already laying eggs. A bunch of alien eggs.
Yeah, like a conveyor belt. And
So there's a lot of people in there, and it, the walls close down, and a bunch of eggs start popping up, and then it's just hugs all around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there is. They're in this room. They're just in this chamber, and there's... I think there's like five of them laid out. There's like, you know, five corpses pretty much all there. They all have... You can tell, we know that the people don't know what's going on, but we know that there's, you know, some, they got chest bursted out or at some point. So we find out it's a sacrificial chamber of some sort, but they don't know what's really going on. So,
yeah. And then like about 5 minutes later, we get a scene of like Helena Bonham Carter's kid sister. She's like waking up with a dead face hugger lying next to her. And then like, as soon as she wakes up, the chest burster pops out. Like this all happens. I mean, every single movie, the gestation timeline is different. So I guess it's kind of late to be calling foul on this, because every movie is so confusing.
But I'm calling foul, because this is that was way too fast. I was like,
it was really fast. Plus, they still got to grow up. I mean, I know aliens, they grow up so fast, but this is ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous. So the predators show up. Oh, by the way, they kill all the topside people. And then the predators show up in the ground, and they start attacking all the humans for taking their toys without asking. And then the pyramid starts to shift. The walls close in, the floors open up and separates the group. Apparently, they're in like the Black Fortress from Kroll. And one of them gets a hold of Waylon, and ironically, his cancer saves his life.
Yeah.
Because the predator have X-ray vision. And they see all the cancer in his lungs, and because they have like a weird twisted sense of honor, not sportsmanship.
Sportsmanship, that's what it is.
Is better, yeah. He lets him go.
Because it wouldn't be a fair, not a fair fight, but he's not worthy of a kill. That's what it is.
Yeah, there's no honor in killing a lame dog or something, yeah.
Yeah.
So he lets him go, and Waylon's like, don't turn your back on me. And he takes his little asthma inhaler and makes like a makeshift blowtorch. He gets all pyro, Predator gets all stabby. And we lose Lance Henriksen. So Blipley and Tijuana Jones, they escape. And then they come across some more hieroglyphs, and we get a pretty sweet origin story. This is when it gets all broken down for us.
Yes, yeah. Like an hour into this movie.
Is it? Yeah. give us break it down. What's the story?
Okay, so basically what it is for thousands of years pretty much, these predators come down, and they have, it's kind of almost like a trial by combat type thing. It's a training ground where they have to survive and kill these aliens that are in this temple. And basically it's pretty much it, right? Like turn them into warriors, pretty much, to these predator warriors. They're not warriors until they come out of this temple with a skull.
I'm assuming that's what it was. He describes it. Yeah. Tijuana Jones says it's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
So I guess these are like, young adolescent predators. Before they become full on warriors, they got to come and do this thing.
Which eases the agony a little bit of what I was going through this movie, because when these predators come in, first of all, they start off really badass. They're all stealth mode. They're killing off all these humans like nothing, like they should be doing. And then we finally get our first scene of, you know, aliens fighting predators. And dude, like these, I think one predator gets taken out like that. Like he's gone instantly, pretty much. I think he got stabbed, right? I think that's what it was.
He's hovering over a human, and then a tail, kind of like with Bishop and Aliens, a tail like stabs him, really fucking long ass tail. Like this predator's hiding in the rafters, but his tail came all the way down to lift, and then it lifts him up, and then it angles the predator, turns around so they're face to face, and we get that one shot of the predator's face, and that's a pretty cool looking image. I'll give it that.
Yeah, but he's gone. Like, so that's one, and then I think not too long after that. Well, no, it is a little while, but there's a second predator that I think is taken out also. And I'm just thinking, man, these aliens are kicking a lot of ass right now. And again, what we talked about earlier, I'm a predator guy, so like I was rooting for these predators, and they're getting taken out, they're losing.
But it's because they didn't have their lasers. That's what I'm saying. That's why years I always thought that's a alien comes with a laser, or predators, they just come with lasers as part of their package. So to take him away, that's like saying, okay, you're going to fight an alien, but it doesn't have the acid blood. No, that's just part of the package. As a kid, that's how you thought it. So
you get Wolverine on your team, but he doesn't have his claws.
Yeah, it was like that. But these predators do have their claws.
Yeah.
And apparently the acid burns, because he cuts his tail off, and then his claws are like all just melted.
Yeah.
But his spears don't melt, which I don't get. Like, you would think he would make his claw. They're going to go fight some fucking aliens. You wouldn't make your claw out of the same acid-resistant material as your spear? Or your little fucking... Again, with the Krull, he's got that little glaive, that spike frisbee.
Yeah.
That shit cuts through aliens' heads and doesn't burn. Why would you make your best weapon, your fucking arm claw, why wouldn't you make it acid-resistant?
So do you think that was just a glitch or just something to show... Like visually, it was like an image. Just they can get that on film that it was like how powerful the blood is on the alien. Like, but why is there an inconsistency?
I think that's just a fuck up.
Yeah,
because clearly they have acid resistant weapons,
right?
But not their one go to weapon.
Yeah, and there's after there's I think it's down to just the one predator left.
Yeah, there's three predators. And then two of them get taken out really fast. And that third predator is like a boss. He kills aliens easy, but those first two kind of go out like chumps. Well, you know what? To be fair, that second predator, he was kicking a little bit of ass. He grabbed him by the foot and is like smashing the alien into walls and tossing him around. He was kicking a little bit of ass.
Was he the one that shot the net that like went across?
It jumps at him and then he turns around and shoots the net at him. And that's how it gets that grid line scar. And it's trapped in the net, and he pulls out a knife like he's gonna kill it. And I guess as the net's cutting into the alien, the acid again, make your fucking nets acid proof. It burns, melts through the net, it escapes, and then it like with its mini mouth chops out that predator's head.
Yeah, the little mini mouth. Right in the
I shall call it mini mouth.
She caught right.
But yeah, if they have lasers, it's a no contest thing. Even in the, in that flashback with their origin story, there's a shot where it was like three predators on the top of a pyramid, and there's thousands of aliens swarming them. And they're like blasting them with lasers, but there's too many of them. And I guess they used their arm bomb.
Yeah.
And that's what wiped out the civilization. He explains, the civilization wiped out overnight. And so, wait, I forget. Tijuana Jones, he's actually Italian. I keep calling him Mexican. Because in the beginning he's in Mexico, so Italiana Jones breaks down.
Yeah, because she says, "How do you say scared shitless in Italian or something like that?" Or
oh, that's right, I forgot that. I was thinking of the scene where he's like, you know, when I grew up in Italy, we call this moon La Luna dei Cacciatori, you know, something like that. That's what I was
there's
thinking.
There's that too,
so, there's that too. Yeah, so they break it down twice. He's like, "I want it twice in the script. I'm not a fucking Mexican. I want it clear." So after the origin story, Tijuana Jones, he gets kidnapped. I like that better. He gets cocooned, and he gets taken away. We assume to get cocooned, and Blipley gives the last remaining predator her shoulder cannon, which he puts on and proceeds to just fucking go to town, like he's at the carnival, just bing, 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 and then the predator wins the Cupid doll.
What do you think about that? Like, that was, like, she figured that out. Like that's what he wanted was the weapon. And then my enemy is my friend.
Well, there's a scene where they look at the statues of predators, and he goes, and they all have shoulder cannons on them. So she figures out these are predator weapons. And she figures out that they're fighting each other. So, I don't know. I mean, the fact that they saw a statue with a shoulder cannon, I guess, is there. This movie covers their bases, because there was a lot of times I was like, well, how did this happen? Oh, shit, they explained it, you know? I gotta admit, man, there's not as many holes as you think it is.
It's more cohesive. More cohesive, yeah, story.
Because there was a lot of times I was like, well, how did they even, like, the Predators, assuming they showed up, because they show up every 100 years, what if there was no humans there? You know? Then what would they do? And then there's a scene where Ewan Bremner says, like, they activated the heat signature that alerted the humans there. It was a trap. It was meant to bring humans there. So I was like, oh, well, I guess they kind of explain it. I don't know how they knew that in 100 years we would have heat-detecting satellites, because the last time they were here was 1904. But maybe they monitor. Well, actually, they do know, because you know what? They were here in 1987, and they were here in 1997. So they do know we have satellites. There you go, yeah. Fucking script is airtight, man. Anyway, so yeah, Blipley decides to tag along, and she gets her very own alien hand puppet, and he makes her a spear out of an alien tail. Like, she's carrying the alien head, like, on her arm. Like, I don't get that. Like, shouldn't it be burning her fucking arm off?
Thank you. Yes.
Like, how is she holding it or whatever? Because he cuts the head off. Shouldn't it just be like
he puts like an incision on the side and then he's like, it pulls off like it's some kind of helmet or something. Like, it's weird. It's not like all bloody and shit. It's just like slimy on the inside. It's
like the tail, I guess. Although when you're carrying it, it's got to be leaking blood on your hand. So that's stupid too. And she never even really does much with these weapons anyway. So I don't know what the point of them is, but he lets her tag along. Eventually they come across Ewan Bremner, whose chest is all busty, and Tijuana Jones' cocoon, and Blipley, as an act of mercy, shoots him, but the chest burster pops out anyway, and then the Predator fucking just palms it, catches it in midair, and like a little pencil, snaps his neck with its thumb, and goes like, just like growls at it. I don't know why, I dug that scene.
It was a cool moment, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
really quick. Oh. We're forgetting. There's a scene where he kills, like, he's just standing there and an alien starts creeping out. And then without even like turning his back, just whoosh, waves his arm. And then the front of the alien's head just slides off. And that's when he takes his mask off very dramatically with his fingers all takes off his mask. And he starts marking his head with, like, I guess is a Predator character of I killed an alien motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you see a face hugger jump at it while he's not wearing his mask.
Right. And that's all we see. The next scene is he's putting his mask back on.
Yeah. So that happens.
Hey, real quick on that, like you just said, like he slowly took his mask off. Did you notice that, like, just about any time a Predator takes his mask off, it's like really slow and dramatic?
Very dramatic.
Yeah, like, they're all, like, always like that. Yeah.
I don't know, but I dug it. I dug it. I get maybe that was a montage of how the first alien, first Predator did it. He does it very dramatically. Maybe it's like a big thing that I'm about to show my face or so. I don't know.
Because they are ugly motherfuckers.
Yeah. So. Okay. You know what? Anyways. Because this is leading me. Then we get one of the worst scenes in the whole fucking movie. Blipley and Predator, they're at the bottom of the super fun happy slide leading back to the surface. And then a random alien drone attacks the Predator from behind, knocks his cannon off, which means, anyways. And then we see some glowy green Predator blood, so we know it's getting injured.
Right.
So the Blipley, I keep calling her, I hope nobody's offended that I keep calling her Blipley. I don't even know the character's name. Do you remember her character's name?
I don't even remember.
The actress is, I think, her name is Sana Lathan, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's like Sanaalathan. Too many fucking A's in it. Hey, save some A's for the rest of us, bitch. So Blipley. So she picks up like this. Sanaalathan picks up like this.
Yeah, you bitch.
She picks up like this nail gun thing that's used to shoot like pitons in the snow. She aims it at the alien, which is killing the Predator. And rather than fire, she says, "You are one ugly mother." And then she doesn't even say fucker. Because she already wasted the movie's one F-bomb, like, 2 minutes ago when he throws the forearm bomb and says, "I hope it kills every fucking one of them." Why wouldn't you say it? Why wouldn't you save the F-bomb for the most iconic line in the franchise, which is "You're one ugly motherfucker." That was the one time. It's like in Die Hard 4 when John McClane wastes his F-bomb and he goes, "Yippee-ki-yay, mother," and then shoots. Like, why would you waste your F-bomb? Use it for the most iconic line of the franchise. I don't get this.
I can't argue that. I can't argue that at all. So, her character's name is Alexa. That was her character's name.
That was not made clear to me. So Predator and Blipley, they ride up the super fun happy slide. They outrun the explosion. They make it back to the whaling station. And because I guess this Predator is Blipley's first bad boy college boyfriend, she decides to get his name tattooed on her face. He takes an alien finger that he has as a trophy, and he like marks her face as a alien killer.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if she ever goes to the Predator planet and she goes into a bar, man, oof, she's gonna get laid pretty hard. Because I bet Predators fuck like champs anyway. So all is well. Until the Mama Queen bursts out of the ground, as aliens are wont to do. It's their favorite thing. They love bursting. And then the Predator gets the most adorable, surprised expression on his face. I love this scene. I rewound it. He, like, with his mandibles, like, he's like Macaulay Culkin. All he needed to do was put his hands on his face. The Predator, I've never seen a Predator look so surprised before. It's fucking adorable.
Someone needs to make a GIF of, like, an animated GIF of the first Alien movie where he jumps out, like, jazz hands, like, surprises him.
Oh, and
he
God.
Cuts to the Predator surprise face. Like, make that a scene. Make that a GIF. Yeah.
That would be hilarious. I need to work on that. So Blipley starts fighting the Alien Queen. And it turns out a Predator with mad hops is the next best thing to a power loader when you're fighting an Alien Queen. Because, like, she's fighting him. And then, I don't know, like, from behind, he just... just comes leaping out of nowhere, super fucking awesome. Stabs it. They tie it to like a water tower. They knock it in the water. So the Alien Queen gets dragged down to the ocean, and I guess it dies. I don't know. I mean,
it freezes
to death. Were they trying to leave it open for a sequel? I don't know. I mean, it's frozen in the water. It's not like we actually saw it die. Aliens are tough, mother.
That's shut your mouth. That's a good rule. Rule of thumb, like, you don't see the body, it didn't die. Mm-hmm. So
the Predator succumbs to his wounds and dies, and all of his frat brothers show up, and we get a shot of a Predator in a cape, which is kind of fucking awesome.
I took that as like Predator elders.
Mm-hmm. Because he's holding his mask under his arm like it's a general's helmet or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so they leave Blipley, they honor her by giving her a spear as a souvenir. You're one of us. And then they leave her to die out in the cold. and then she walks a couple miles on the snow, and then she comes across the frozen spaceship from the Thing, and she looks at the camera and goes, "Not again." Ba-da-da-da-da-da. And the movie ends.
No. Oh, man, that'd be hilarious.
No, but it doesn't end there.
Let's go back to that, because that's funny, because, you know, now Hollywood, you know, everything's got to be connected. Everything's got to be some kind of big connected universe. What better way right there to make a combined cinematic universe of Predator, Alien, and The Thing?
That would be fucking awesome. Although The Thing would fucking win.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even beat The Thing.
Xenomorph, I got nothing on that thing.
They got shit on me.
That was like 2 points in one. Shit. All right, so...
But no, will we get one final scene?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You think it's in the movie. You see all the Predators back on the Predator ship, leaving Earth. And it's the dead Predators on the on the table there. And it's kind of, you know, the camera's kind of zooming in slowly to the dead Predator. So you know something's probably going to happen. And then you remember, oh, wait, there's a scene where the facehugger jumped on him. Oh, I wonder. And then right then and there, bam. One little chest bursting scene at the very end. But as we found out in Alien 3, it takes on, you know, traits of whatever host that it hugged. So the alien comes up, and then it screams like it normally does when it comes out, and he's got the little
mandibles.
Yeah, mandibles, yeah.
Yeah, and it does a... Then you hear like the... like, I can't do that. Yeah. The clicky predator noise. It combines both sounds or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool ending. I gotta admit, predators and Predmorg and a pred alien burst out of its pred chest, and then it ends, fade to black. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I
don't know why they didn't scan it. Like, they literally have X-ray vision on their visors, and this guy was just fucking fighting aliens.
You'd think that'd be like a protocol or something. Yeah. Like, when you're coming back from this temple, you gotta be checked out first before you go back.
Yeah, because he wasn't even wearing his mask.
Good point.
Clearly, yeah. So they should have checked it. You should have fucking put him in quarantine. Anyways. So, I don't know. Final thoughts on AVP.
There were a couple of cons. So we kind of talked about the PG-13. That's a big red flag for this movie. It could have been so much better if they just kind of let it rip, rated R. But I think there's a lot of more pros to this movie than cons, honestly. It was cool to see multiple predators fighting in one movie. There was a lot more backstory. If you're a Predator fan, this is a good Predator movie because we got like this last shot of the elders coming down and you see more of the rituals and shit like that. So that shit's pretty cool. The little pred alien at the end, that's a nice surprise. Like you mentioned before, there's a lot of cohesiveness to the story. There's not a whole lot of, you could tell they took their time making this movie. As far as
it took years.
yeah, literally. So and hey, you got Lance Henriksen.
Yeah, hey. He was a nice tie-in. And there was some cool character. Like I said, I like Ewan Bremner. I like Tommy Flanagan's in this too. Another Scott who gets cocooned and killed, whatever. He's the guy with all the scars on his face. He's a cool character actor.
We kind of blew through all that. There was a lot of guys that got killed in this movie.
Yeah. but yeah, Tommy Flanagan, I've never seen Sons of Anarchy, but I know he's on that.
Yeah, he's a big staple of that show.
Yeah. So. I would love to see him in a movie with Michael Kenneth Williams. I don't know if he that is. He's a black actor who's got like a rowdy scar down his face. He's Omar Little in The Wire. Okay, he was in a Community that season. He was the biology teacher who was an ex-con. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Was he in Boardwalk Empire?
I stopped watching that.
It's who I think it is.
He's a black guy with a big fucking scar going down the middle of his forehead, down his face. I mean, I don't know how much more. And Tina Fey. Tina Fey's in it too. Michael Kenneth Williams, if I'm not mistaken. And Tina Fey, because she's got a rowdy scar on her face too. Them three. Do a sequel to the movie Scarface.
Scarfaces.
No, that's just mean. On the surface, like, I can't pinpoint what it is about this movie that I don't regard it higher. Like, like you said, there's a lot of good things about it, and they probably do outweigh the negatives, but I don't know why I don't consider this, higher up. Maybe it's the fact that I just didn't like seeing predators get their ass kicked so easily. Maybe it's because I didn't like the heroine of this movie. I mean, she is no Sigourney Weaver.
My issue, this is kind of a nitpick, but my issue with that, with her and what they did with her was, like, she was almost just as powerful as the predators. She took out three fucking aliens. One was the fucking queen.
Yeah, I mean, Ripley at least needed a power loader, or, she was scared. Ripley was, like, scared. She was terrified at times. And it really made her more human. This chick, like, she never even broke a sweat. I mean, yeah, she's in Antarctica. But I don't know. It just seems like we need to have a female lead because that's a big part of the Alien franchise. And I don't know. She had no charisma to me. I didn't really care. I couldn't even be bothered to remember her name. I don't know. I'm not saying she was super bad, but she was just not memorable to me.
Yeah, definitely not iconic. Nothing memorable about her, really, that would make her stand out to, past this movie.
Yeah.
Unless she was to go on and be in like future installments, but they didn't do that with her.
Because she froze to death. and she even stops to fuck up the most famous line while the alien's getting killed. The alien's going like, oh, 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 which is Predator for like, shoot this fucking thing. So, yeah. Anyways. It's not a bad movie. It could have been worse. I guess this, that should be the tagline.
I think instead of
whoever wins, we lose, this could be worse.
Well, with Anderson directing it, I think he was a fan of both franchises, and I think that kind of
who is
could see that in this movie. But
anyways,
maybe this is me. I don't know.
Well, this. Would you say these are their own franchise? I mean, are these technically each part of the? Is this part of the Alien franchise, respectively, and the Predator franchise?
I would think I think you could include them. I mean, if you, I'm sure if you like pull up like a timeline, chronological timeline of both franchises, I'm sure the events of this movie would fall into both timelines. No,
is it canon?
I don't think so.
Hmm, okay. Well, again, with that whole Weyland shit, did Scott like say this isn't canon anymore? Because you know how protective he is of the fucking Alien franchise.
Oh, if does Ridley think this is canon? Is that true?
Well, I mean, he specifically, I mean, not him because he's not a writer, but I mean, like I said, the whole Weyland character, he retconned it when he made Prometheus. Like, maybe he's, because like I said, he's very protective of this Alien franchise, that he's going to say, fuck you, Neil Blomkamp, you can't make your movie anymore because I'm already doing it. So maybe the way Star Wars books are not canon anymore, maybe this movie's considered not canon anymore now that Ridley Scott's creating a whole new Alien universe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if, what was the guy's name? Dan O'Bannon?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if what he could say. I'd probably take his word over Ridley Scott.
Yeah. Big time.
O'Bannon's the one who wrote the fucking shit.
I hate people saying, like, Ridley Scott created it. No, he fucking didn't. He's never created shit. He's not a writer. He's never written anything. He's never written a single fucking movie. He's just a director. So when people are giving him, like, you know, whatever. I'm gonna put this away. I'm gonna save it for next episode. So I'm just gonna chill until the next episode.
There you go. All right. But in the meantime, before the next episode, we do have
one more to get through.
One more here. Yeah. They did actually make a sequel. I guess this movie, it did well enough in the box office to warrant a sequel. AVPR. Requiem.
Who the fuck calls it that?
Right? Requiem. That's a weird name for a subtitle. But R, as in rated R? Right. That's the first thing they fixed from the last movie. From all the complaints that everybody got, they actually made this one rated R. So...
Oh, it was? Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice it, that it was, you know, any difference in the tone as far as the rating goes, but I guess that's cool that they made it rated R.
Yeah, yeah. I think some of the kills were just a little bit more, they didn't have to cut away. They could actually show some kills this time. So, cool. But there wasn't language and stuff like that. It wasn't explicit or anything. It was just, I think, more of the violence level.
Oh, maybe that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway. what do you want to say about AVP Requiem?
Ugh.
Or how do we get into this?
I give it four. Ugh. No, man, this one. I don't know what. Again, it's hard to put my finger on why this one sucks so bad. It just does. It's I'm not super familiar. I watched it. It's been like a month that I took notes on this. So it's not super fresh in my head. It's not like I'd seen it a whole lot before. I think maybe that was the second time I'd ever seen it when I reviewed it for this show, and that was like a month ago.
Yeah. I want to like this movie so much. I want this to be a good movie. But there's so many... I think there's the cons outweigh the pros on this thing. Because let's kind of...
Wait. There's pros?
That's my point. That's my point exactly.
What pros are there?
Let's talk about this movie for a second. So it actually picks up right after the first AVP movie.
Right after.
And it shows like the basically the same scene from the last movie where the Pred Alien busts out and takes out the Predators in there, runs amok in the shuttle.
In 5 minutes, it's the size of a full-grown Predator.
Yeah.
Stomping around, man. Ugh.
But because of that, it like malfunctions the ship or whatever, and it basically the ship,
it kills a Predator, and then a different one sees it and just starts blasting away at the walls like a fucking retard. So, and that's what causes it to crash back onto Earth, because this alien is just shooting the shit out of its own spaceship. You realize you're in space, you idiot. But whatever. So that's why it turns around. I guess it's programmed, you know, once the integrity is compromised, to find the nearest planet, I'm guessing. So it turns right back around and crashes in, like, Colorado or something.
Yeah. A small town, I guess, in Colorado, because the first scene.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, there's like a lot of wilderness and mountain. It crashes in the Red Dawn town.
There you go. Again, hey, another crossover.
Right, yeah. Fucking Patrick Swayze is like, did you see that? No, they couldn't throw Patrick Swayze in this movie. You know why? Because he would kill every fucking predator and alien with roundhouse kicks. Roadhouse. There's an alien. Roadhouse. Yeah. So everybody pack it up, go home. Dalton's got this. No, we don't see Patrick Swayze in the woods. What we do find is a father-son team. They're hunting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They see a crash, and the predators, for some reason, have a bunch of face huggers in, like, aquariums for some reason. I don't know why, but they crash. I mean, surely that's not a suitable pet.
That's right. Okay, yeah.
Get her a dog, she'll be happier.
I forgot how the face huggers got onto Earth.
Yeah, when it crashes, they get out, and then the face huggers get a hold of the father and son. And, well, I guess you can see where the movie goes from here.
Yeah. Hilarity ensues. No. But there was one pro that I'm gonna talk about real quick here is towards the beginning of this movie, where I guess that shuttle, it sends off like a beacon or something back to the Predator's homeworld.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, to me, especially watching it for the first time, I love that, the fact that they actually showed just where the Predators come from, their homeworld.
Planet Predator.
Yeah. And it's, and again, we talked about this last movie, like, we're more Predator guys. I mean, we're fans of Predator. So, more back, you know, it's just more fleshing out of the franchise of Predator, I thought. And it showed this one Predator.
It's one dude.
He gears up pretty much, and he knows what he's got to do.
Grabs his favorite mask. Yeah. My grandmama gave me this whip. You know, he takes all his favorite weapons and he goes, cause I get maybe like his little brother was on that ship to crash. I don't know how they could explain it, but I would love to know why that one Predator, who didn't even decide to call any of his buddies, just takes off by himself. Like, if he had just called, you know, get a couple friends, get a posse together, you know.
Okay. And I had the same question as that, and I had to take it to IMDb trivia on this one. Apparently, he's kind of like a quote-unquote cleaner. Like, he cleans up messes pretty much.
Oh, okay.
Matter of fact, the FX department.
So he's like Jean Reno and La Femme Nikita, right? Oh, gotcha.
Like, he's like, okay, the FX team that made the suit and everything for him, they actually called him Wolf from Pulp Fiction. Wolf. Like, he's a cleaner.
Oh, he solves problems.
Yeah.
That's good, because this town's got one. Okay, yeah, so
shit,
far.
Negro, I didn't know you were sitting in the wolves.
I didn't know that's why they called him that. I just figure, like, a wolf is a predator. There you go.
Yeah.
So this is like 7 minutes of the movie, and so far I'm on board, and then it all kind of goes downhill from here.
The introduction of the
hero.
All the humans in this fucking movie. This becomes, here's the biggest con for me in this movie, was it became a teen slasher thriller movie. Like,
yeah. I could have done without the whole teenage plot.
All these teenagers introduced.
We meet the hero, right?
I think so. I can't even tell you who the main hero is in this movie.
I just know he's Sean Garrity from Rescue Me. I don't know his character's name. Again, I don't know the character. Dallas. His name is Dallas. What a stupid. Wait a minute. Dallas? Is that a reference to Tom Skerritt?
Dallas.
And Alien? I didn't even think about that.
You're right. What a stupid name.
Yeah. So he shows up in town. And he's like I guess he just, like, he just got out of prison or something.
Yeah,
they don't.
Yeah.
And the sheriff shows up and he offers him to give him a ride. And I'm like, is this like First Blood? He's like, yeah, I'll give you a ride right out of town. You know, stay out of Malibu, Lebowski. Stay out of Malibu, deadbeat. No, he gives him a ride, and I guess, like, he just got out of prison. And that's when we meet his little brother, who's, like, delivering pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get the cliche, the bully. Like, he likes the girl who's dating the bully. And the bully literally kicks his ass. And then the girl's like, leave him alone. It's like, well, bitch, why are you even dating the guy? He's an ass. It's like Weird Science. It's such a cliche. It goes all the way back to Weird Science, where mm-hmm. the chicks are hanging out with the assholes. Like, why are you hanging out with him? It makes me like you. It makes me not like you as a character, that you're cool hanging out with a dude who just kicks the pizza delivery boy's ass and chunks his keys and shit. But whatever.
Chunk the keys in the sewer. Dude, that was a dick move, even for bully standards, dude.
Yeah, he's going to get fired. He needs to deliver pizzas. That's his livelihood. Right? He could sue you. He could take you to small claims court and be like, I got fired because this guy threw my keys away.
But already, look, we spent like 5 minutes talking about bullies and girlfriends and stupid kids. It's already like divulged from what this movie should be. Just more aliens versus... See, at least in the first movie, it was... humans kind of stumbled upon this war between aliens and predators. This one, like, the aliens and predators stumbled upon the humans. It's like, they're like almost like a subplot to
this teenagers. One seems more like a straightforward alien movie with a predator thrown in. Like, the predator, like this is a movie on its own. You didn't even need a predator. Like, the idea of aliens take over a small town, and they have to blow up the town, and it's killing. But like, you could make this whole movie, this could be a script, without any predators in it. The predator just happens to show up in a scene, kill an alien here, and leave. It didn't really... The predator didn't... He was like a secondary character. He's almost like a supporting player. It's almost like Alien versus Humans, and there's a predator.
And again, that didn't make sense to me when I was first watching it. But yeah, you go back, and once I realized the predator was just there to clean up the mess... Like, that's why he's in the woods, like, he's pouring that acid shit all over the dead bodies, like, covering them up. And
I don't know why he did that. I mean, does he give a shit about, like, keeping secrets? Like, the humans aren't ready to know.
Apparently not, because he fucking killed a cop and skinned him and hung him.
Yeah, so. well, as a predator is wont to do. And that cop had a weapon. If you have a gun, yeah. But, okay, so the father-son team, they're out in the... And then we get some chest bursters from the father-son. And I think you saw this more recently. Was it a CGI chestburster? I think it was. I just remember thinking, like, dude, it looked better in the 70s. But kudos for killing a little kid.
Yeah, that was the first. That's what stuck in my mind more than anything was they for the first time we saw a kid getting chestbursted.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll give him credit. They killed a little fucking kid. Good for
that. And that might be one of the reasons rated R.
Yeah, maybe. So. Some fucking soldier kids. Chick in, like, desert camo comes home to her husband, Sam. I don't know his name, but he's Sam on True Blood, so this is he's Sam. And her daughter.
Well, the chick was from 24. I recognize her. She was one of the main characters for a while.
Oh, I never 24. Watched 24.
Yeah. Michelle Drexler. Yeah.
I think I watched a couple episodes because I heard Mia Kirshner was going to be on it.
Oh, that's right. She was.
Yeah, but I never really got into 24. But she comes back, and it must have been a pretty goddamn long tour, because her daughter, like, doesn't even know her. Like, seriously, she's like, who's that lady? Like, she's your mom. It's not like this kid's, like, 4. I mean, this kid's, like, you know, 9 or something. She should know who her fucking mom is, but whatever. And I never really cared about that character, or the mom, or the kid, but I guess it's, like, a rule that every alien movie has to have, like, a strong female in it. So I guess she's kind of in there to sort of just put a check in that box.
Yeah.
Like, strong female character, check, we got her. What else? Moving on, you know?
Yeah. Again, too many humans in this movie that I just don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
But the big thing to look forward to in a movie called AVP is Aliens versus Predators.
That's when the Predator shows up.
Yeah.
He finally arrives. He doesn't land his ship, but he crashes it in the water all the way from space. Like, my boy Captain America over here.
Best of the best of the best, sir.
With honors. No. Yeah, so he gets all CSI in the ship. He takes the dead Predator's face mask or whatever, puts it on himself, and it's like security footage. He can see what happened through the point of view of this dead Predator, which is kind of cool. They never implied that they're always filming, and basically if you find a dead predator with a mask intact, you can find out exactly how he died, which is something we've never seen before. So again, that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. Which, again, this is more, like I said, more fleshed out information for Predators, the Predators franchise.
Yeah, so. Although he does do something on the ship. He, like, injects himself with something. I don't know what that is. Is it Super Soldier Serum? Oh, my God, he fucking is Captain America. No, but they show him, like, doesn't he inject himself with something?
Yeah, you're right. Did they explain what that was? I don't know if that's ever explained.
Is he like, oh, fuck, I didn't know it was aliens. I better inject myself with some alien hunting juice.
I don't know. Did he do that? Did he do that after he looked at the visor?
I think so. At least according to my, I think so. But even if he didn't, it doesn't make any more sense that he would do it beforehand. This is my CSI juice. It makes me real sleuthy. I don't know what, but he injects himself for some reason. I don't know. More people go missing. More aliens are bursting chests. I'm assuming the movie gets kind of boring in the middle when there's no alien or predator on screen. I think it's starting to take out townspeople, right? Doesn't it take out like a diner? There's like a waitress or something.
Just more people that they're trying to make a scare about.
And yeah.
I just don't care.
So that blonde bimbo, the teenager, whose name I never even remember, she invites Pizza Dork back to the school to go swimming. And she strips down to her bra and panties, which aren't matching, which I like. That's another movie cliche, that every girl dresses in the morning and puts on matching bras and panties. In real life, most of the time, when you're spontaneously, yeah, they're never matching. I don't know. I thought that was a nice touch.
Well, that was part of the
realism.
That was part of the thing. She's like, which one do you like more, the blue or the blue, or something like that. It was part of the
oh, really? I don't remember
part
that.
Part of the conversation, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that. But yeah, bullies show up, aliens show up, and then the predator shows up. And like man, this school pool is the place to be on a Saturday night. Everybody's here. Most of the bullies die, but who gives a shit? And does somehow like a power plant gets blown up or something like that? All I remember is the town is like a blackout. Does the predator fight the aliens at like a power plant?
Yes, yeah, he does.
Okay, so that's what causes like a blackout.
I think so, because wasn't he like shooting his lasers all throughout the trying to tag him?
That makes sense. I'll buy that. the diner scene.
I was going to say, here's another problem with this movie for me. It's really dark. And yes. I don't mean tonally dark. I'm talking, like, visually dark. I couldn't see, like, half the shit in this movie.
I literally changed the contrast on my
Did
TV.
Did you?
Yeah. Or not contrast, but, I mean, yeah, I had to make it like brighter. I put it in dynamic mode or whatever to make it brighter.
like I couldn't tell who was fighting who. Was that the alien fighting the predator? Like it was so dark. All I see was like, there was even scenes when they showed a close up of an alien growling or whatever, and all I could see was like the teeth. Like I couldn't see like nothing else on the screen. I don't know. That was like a plague throughout the whole trying to watch this movie for me.
Yeah. It's like watching The Relic. You ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Really fucking dark, and yeah, it's annoying. So we meet a pregnant waitress who the pred alien killed her, and she has like three chest bursters come out of her, right?
Yeah, there's three little small aliens that come out of her stomach.
Yeah, so we've never seen that before. We've never seen anybody birth more than one. And the pred alien is like stalking around like the neonatal ward of a hospital, and nobody notices this 7-foot fucking monster walking around this hospital. And it puts like a sucker on the mouth of a pregnant woman. And we see like her throat bulging, like he's laying egg after egg. I don't know why it needs a pregnant woman to do this. I mean, her womb has already got, you know, no vacancies. You know, why would you need to, wouldn't it make more sense to do it for I don't know. If there's a
Did he have to, actually put an egg in the unborn babies too? Is that what it was? Like, maybe she was having twins or something?
I never got that. That was not made clear to me.
Wasn't,
I mean, wouldn't it make more sense to, quote-unquote, impregnate women who aren't pregnant? Because, you know, whatever. It seems to like pregnant women. It seems to like... And that's pretty hardcore, too. Because it's not only killing humans, it's killing unborn babies. This alien is very pro-choice. So I guess that's how predators. We keep calling it Predalien. I guess it, although it seems to have more allegiance to aliens. It is an alien.
Well, I think... It's an alien.
It's a xenomorph. But it just happens to have traits.
Yeah, but we call... I mean, I think that's just the name that everybody calls it just because what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, you're right. So this is a new way of reproducing. Okay. You think that's a predator trait? You think that's how predators reproduce? By, like, birthing several of them at a time? Like, a predator is always born in litters?
Maybe. I don't know. We haven't seen that.
The predator's name is Wolf. You know? I don't know. Because it takes traits from their host. And this is a new trait we've never seen before. So maybe that's a predator trait.
Should start writing another predator movie. Well,
yeah. Fan fiction.
Yeah.
So we get a bunch of survivors. Dallas, his little brother, the sheriff, and just some other fucking people. We've sort of been ignoring them. But because they're very boring. But the survivors reach like a fork in the road. They either head to the center of town where mm-hmm. some shady quote-unquote colonel on the radio says there's air evac waiting for them, or they head to their hospital where there may be a helicopter waiting. And they split up. The sheriffs take some people to head to town. Most of the main characters head to the hospital in like an APC they stole because Shoulder Chick knows how to drive it and knows how to fly a helicopter, it seems.
Yes.
Whatever. she's just a badass who knows everything.
Yeah, if the point wasn't made clear before, she can do anything.
She can do anything, because women, yeah. Anyway. So they get to the hospital, and Predator's there kicking ass with what few weapons he has left. And he's down to that Kroll weapon that we saw in the first AVP. And this is one of my favorite parts of the movie. He throws it down the hall, which is all alien cocoony for mm-hmm. some reason. And it kills a couple aliens, but it keeps flying. Meanwhile, the blonde bimbo is running down the hall like an idiot, and she crosses the corner and ka-ching! Gets impaled against the wall and dies, which was fucking awesome. I love that they killed the chick, and, you know, now the hero's annoying little brother, Pizza Dork, will never know what it's like to feel the touch of a woman. But, I mean, I thought she was going to live, and then they killed her, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and that was visually, it was just a cool shot too. So
to see her like it lifted her up off the ground to impale her. That fucking predator's got an arm, man. He's all city. 4 touchdowns in one game. Okay. So Sean Garrity, Dallas, whatever. The predator has like this like mare's leg shotgun laser that he gets a hold of. And they're on the roof, and they're on the roof, and he decides to hold them off while Soldier Babe and her kid takes away Pizza Dork. I do not know any of these people's names. And Pizza Dork is like, I'm not leaving you. And Sean Garrity goes, get to the chopper.
Did she really say that?
He says it. He says, get to the chopper.
Oh, man.
He fucking says that, I know, because I wrote it down. Because I laughed, too. It was just a nice wink. They're giving Alien all the montages. It's nice to see Predator get a montage.
Homage, not a montage.
Homages. Sorry, thank you.
Although I would love to see a Predator montage, too.
Now, when I was watching it, he says, get to the chopper. And something occurred. Maybe the movie answered it. Like I said, I hadn't seen it in a while. Why do they need a chopper to get out of town? Like, were the roads blocked? I mean, it seemed like a small town. Couldn't they just drive out of the town in like 20 minutes, get some motorcycles or whatever, maneuver around some shit if there's traffic? I mean, why was a helicopter the only means of escape?
I don't know if that, I'm sure that maybe that was answered in a brief bit of explanation. I don't know. I know why they had to get out of town is because the military does what they love to do in these situations and just wipe everybody out.
Dallas, I think he said that. That's why he didn't want to go to the center of town. He suspected it, and I think Soldier Babe backed him up. Like, quarantine, cleanse it all, whatever. But, I mean, still, you could have driven. I don't know.
Because I think they called in the military, and the military, the general or whatever, told them, go to the center of town, wait for us. Yeah. And that guy, Dallas, he's like, no, something's not right about that.
Something's rotten in Denmark, yeah. So they make it to the chopper. And then Predator and Predalien wind up on the roof. And then, so the Predator takes off his mask, drops all of his weapons. Because I don't know, I guess turtles fight with honor, or because he's like, he killed his little brother. So yeah, he wants to fucking fight him like mano a mano. And it's dark and rainy, and they start fighting, and it's, they're like wrestling, and it's like a fucking Transformer movie, like a Michael Bay. I can't tell what's going on. All I see is a jumble of limbs, and I don't know what the fuck I'm watching.
I'm glad you said that, because earlier when I was talking about how dark it was, I was going to use the Transformer Michael Bay reference before. So I'm glad one of us said the Michael Bay reference.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck is going on, but the Predator stabs him in the head underneath, right? With his blades?
Yes.
Yeah. At the same time, the Pred alien nails him through the chest with his tail, which I don't even remember him having.
I don't think they showed him with a tail. I don't think.
Yeah, all of a sudden he just whips the tail out. Like, he just grew it.
Maybe he had one, but me, like I said, I couldn't see half the shit in this movie, so.
But yeah, they're both standing there in the death throes when the bomb finally drops and obliterates them both, so turns out their big old fight was kind of pointless anyway, because they were going to die anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's the fucking point?
So, I think that's a good... No, you know what? That's a good... That's a good tagline for this movie, or summary of this movie. What's the fucking point?
Yeah, because they all blew up anyway. Yeah, it turns out nothing matters. Well, okay, well, no. They're flying away in the choppa, and they crash. Some soldiers find them, and the little kid is like, "Mommy, the monster's gone." And I'm like, oh, yeah, the little kid. She's in this movie. I forgot. But I guess she's supposed to be like Newt. But they never focus enough on the mom relationship with her anyway, so who cares? And the creepy colonel, he goes into some... Oh, they confiscate Dallas's Mare's Leg gun. And then they show creepy colonel guy, and he goes in like a conference room with that little Predator six-shooter, and he gives it to this Asian lady who he refers to as Miss Yutani.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, I still don't give a shit. But, you know, it's... So this is clearly the Yutani of Weyland Yutani.
Right.
I guess she's the reason the company went evil. Because she seems like a bitch. I shouldn't even say anything. I don't think she has any fucking lines. She just looks like a bitch. And clearly Weyland was a stand-up bro. You want to have a beer with Weyland, but fuck this bitch.
Yeah.
So I guess their technology is what spurned them to become, like, the biggest leading thing. They start terraforming. They start creating robots and everything. It's all fucking reverse engineered, I guess, from this alien gun.
Predator gun.
Predator gun. I'm sorry. Predator is an alien. Don't correct me, motherfucker. Yes, in this context, we need to differentiate. This Predator gun. And I think that's how the movie ends. With Yutani getting the gun. We don't even know what happens to the survivors. Were they executed for having witnessed it all? Did they just shoot them in the woods? They probably would have. We never find out what happens to them. Yeah. They're supposed to be our heroes, you know? We're accompanying them on this big epic journey, this escape, and we never even find out what happens to them.
And you know, this weird thing is, I guess this movie was more or less made only for like the hardcore fans of the franchises, because that last scene of Yutani, like no words are spoken. You can put the pieces together because we know who everybody is, but nothing's explained. It's just more of a, almost a wink and a nod to all that, but it's just, it's like a cliffhanger for another movie almost. You know, like, what are they going to do with that weapon? What happened to the survivors? All that could be answered in another movie, but why bother?
You think that's why the ending was so left open? Because it was setting up AVP-3?
Maybe.
Did this one... I know, okay, the first AVP was surprisingly cheap, and it made, like, you know, it made its money back. I think it cost, like, $50 million. It made, like, $150 million. Like, you know, it made money. I don't know if this one was financially... successful. I'll be surprised if it was, because if it was, then maybe they would have made another one, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it was that very successful. I mean,
according to IMDb, the budget was $40 million and it made $41 million. So,
yeah.
So that probably is why we never got an AVP-3. I'm looking at it now.
Did we ever discuss the directors? the brother Strauss.
The brothers Strauss. Get the fuck out. Just call yourself Strauss brothers, motherfuckers. Yeah, two dudes, I guess. The brothers Strauss. All the Hughes brothers. You just call yourself the Wachowski brothers. The brothers. What do you
think? Or not the sisters, but
whatever. What do you think? Yeah, what do you think? You're creating fairy tales 100 years ago, Brothers Grimm? I don't know what they've done. Anything. I never even heard of them. You would think
I had to look them up. They actually they're more known for doing visual effects for a lot of movies. They have actually a long list of credits, but some of them, Avatar, Iron Man 2, Avengers. The most recent, I mean, the few most recent X-Men movies, Days of Future Past, Apocalypse, X-Men Origins Wolverine, San Andreas. But it's all visual effects. They're not known for directing anything.
They did direct Skyline, which I don't think I could even finish that movie.
Wasn't the knockoff of, not District 9, but, I thought that was like a knockoff of something.
Independence Day?
Maybe.
I don't know. I didn't even finish it. Like, I rented it, and like I got like 30 minutes in, and I fell asleep or something, and turned it back in. It's pretty boring.
All right.
I think the effects were like... Ironically, I remember the effects being really bad in that movie. So...
Well, there you go.
I don't know.
Okay, so I know in the past episodes, I had kind of broken down, like, as far as IMDb ratings and Rotten Tomatoes... AVP, their IMDb score is a 5.6. And for Requiem, 4.7. So, went down just a little bit.
I would think AP would be higher, but a 47 grade, or, you know, if it's like a term paper, yeah, I'll buy that for Requiem. It's an F.
Yeah, 4.7.
It's an F movie. Yeah. What would you give out of scale of... of 1 to 10, or a 5.3, you know, whatever. What would you give the first Alien versus Predator movie?
Probably a 3 out of 5.
On a scale of 1 to 10, like IMDb does. So a 6 out of 10, basically. I don't know, man. I think it's a C-plus movie. I think it passes.
It passes, for sure. I was going to say like a 6 or 7.
Okay. You know? Well, because isn't 6 an F?
Okay, 7.
Okay. Or not. Like, okay, D, when we were kids, anything in the 60s was an F. But now it seems like anything in the 60s is a D, which passes. Did they change that?
I think so.
When did that happen? Anyways.
So, let's see. Oh, here we go. Rotten Tomatoes, Alien vs. Predator. They have it as a 21% with an audience score of 39%.
So the first thing is, okay. No, I'm gonna sound like such an idiot. Rotten Tomatoes, their score is like a collection of what every critic rates them, right?
Is it?
That's what I thought Rotten Tomatoes was. Now you see trailers on TV, like the latest movie is coming out, and you know it has a 90% Rotten Tomatoes, because I thought that they gather up everything the critics say, assign a numeric value to it. I don't know what a thumbs up, thumbs down. I don't know how you rate that. Mm-hmm. And then they assign it a percentage. That's why you just said it. The audience score. The actual score is what critics give it, unless I'm mistaken. Yeah. I've actually never actually been on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. So for Requiem, Rotten Tomato, the tomato meter.
I guess thermometer.
There you go.
Is that even really a thing? I just made that up.
No, you're probably right. It sounds better than what I said. Okay. 12%.
Yeah.
Audience score is actually pretty high, 31%. So, but they say...
Wait, 31 is high? Okay. That's a high score?
Yeah, well...
It's higher than critics.
Higher score.
Yeah, okay, I wouldn't call it a high score.
No, but they say the critic consensus is the increased gore and violence over the first AVP can't excuse Requiem's disoriented editing, excessively murky lighting, and lack of new ideas.
Yeah, I'll buy all that, especially the lighting.
Yeah, the lighting for sure.
Whoever the fucking lighting director is, you failed. You failed. You quit Hollywood. Move back to Ohio. I, I assume he's from Ohio, came out to Hollywood to make it big, and you failed, lighting director. Fuck you.
Failed. Oh, for AVP, here's the critic consensus for More Rotten Tomatoes for AVP. Gore without scares and cardboard cutout characters make this Clash of the Monsters a dull sit.
I'll agree with them in the characters. I could not remember a single character in this movie. They were all pretty cliche and lame.
Man, maybe there's something to this Rotten Tomato thing.
Maybe.
We'll get with the times eventually.
Yeah. But, this movie squashed the potential universe of AVP. Although, to be honest, well, I was going to say, in today's world of rebooting things and universe building, I was going to say I could see Fox rebooting the AVP franchise, but now that Ridley Scott's, really put, this is his sandbox now with Alien. He probably has enough clout to tell Fox, no, he will not continue this.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll be seeing another AVP movie. I was hoping we'd see more Predator movies after that Robert Rodriguez produced film. I forget the name of the guy who directed it. Predators. I was hoping we'd see Predators start again on its own without aliens.
Was it his last name was Nimrod, right?
No, his first name was Nimrod. Nimrod Antal, I think, was what it was.
That's it. Yeah. I knew Nimrod somewhere in there.
I just know it started with an A because all my DVDs are alphabetized by directors. So it was one of the first ones. Nimrod Antal was his name. I like that. I fucking like Predators. I thought it paid a lot of respect to the original 80s Arnold Schwarzenegger, John McTiernan Predator movie, which is an amazing movie.
I thought it did too. I don't want to say I loved it, but I don't see why it didn't do as well as maybe it should have.
I loved it. I really enjoyed the fuck out of it. I like Adrian Brody a lot. I thought they used the original Predator music and, they ended it with Long Tall Sally in the credits and just so many nods and winks and the vibe, the feel of it and the jungle. And it was like watching Predator again.
Maybe this, we should put a pin on this. Maybe we should come back at a later point and do a Predator franchise.
I'm down.
Retrospect. Yeah. That'd be fun. Only three movies, right? We've already covered two of them here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe. Okay. Disregard everything I said about Predators, which is fucking awesome. You should be watching it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not done yet. We still got one more to get through before we're done with this. But
the grand finale.
Yeah, the child in me liked seeing some aliens. The child in me, likes the frosting, but the adult in me likes the wheat, or how the fucking, how's that commercial go? But the kid in me likes likes the aliens fighting. The first movie, it was like aliens and predators, they're fucking fighting. Hollywood gave us what we've been asking for. That was cool that they did that.
Since we're in junior high.
Yeah.
we've been talking about that in junior high.
Yeah, so that was neat. Yeah. And, and Hollywood is there, want to do, fucked it up. I don't know. Alien AVP 1, it's worth your time. If you're a fan of either franchises, check it out. Although if you are a fan of either franchises, I can't imagine you've never seen this movie.
Yeah.
AVP Requiem, you can skip it. It doesn't add anything to the franchise.
It's a shame to say that too. I agree. I think it is missable. But like I said at the beginning of this, man, I wanted this to be a good movie. Rated R, you got more Predator stuff. I mean, it's, everything should have worked out really well for this movie, and it just fell apart for just different reasons. I don't know, but yeah, it's not a good movie.
Mm-hmm. And the thing was, it was only $40 million. Like, it was, that's cheap. Can you name one star?
Well, they save money on lighting.
Yeah, you failed, lighting director. Can you name one actor in this movie? One star.
Sam from True Blood? I don't know.
You don't even... Yeah, I mean, apparently he's not a star if you don't know. Like, I was watching this. I'm like, somebody punch me so I could see some stars. Like, couldn't they get any actors, to want to be a part of this? Did they not have, And $40 million is pretty... Like I said, it's cheap for a big... Yeah. For a sci-fi action franchise movie? It's not a lot of money. Maybe they didn't have a lot of faith in this.
That's what I'm thinking. If the studio didn't have a lot of faith in a sequel, then they wouldn't have greenlit a lot of money for it. So if that's what they had to work with, that's what they had to work with. So
maybe it was dead from the get-go. From the moment it was greenlit, it was dead because the studio was like, "Here's $40 million, go make a fucking franchise with 20 some odd years of legacy behind it."
Do you think that this these movies, they favor one franchise over the other? Do you think it's more pro Alien or pro Predator? Or?
I think the first one did a good job of keeping it on even keel. The second one clearly, well, I don't know. I mean, even though we only got one Predator in this movie, but we got a shot of his home world, you know, whereas Aliens, there's clearly a lot more aliens, but it's kind of working on the assumption, you know all about aliens, you know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it really gave respect to either of them. Now that I think of it, the aliens were just there. Like I said, it was an alien movie with the Predator thrown in as an afterthought.
Yeah, and that's the difference between that one and the first one. The first one, like you said, it's more even. Whereas,
it created a whole mythology. It created an alternate history of mankind. You know what I mean? It was an epic tale, a tale as old as time. You know, Predator and the Beast. it was a good idea. And this one was a bad idea.
Is that the name of this episode, Predator and the Beast?
I don't know. We'll work on that. But yeah, that's about it. I don't know what more we could say about it.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. Because we're gonna go on and call this one an end because we got to get ready and prepare for the big finale. Mm-hmm. The one you're looking forward to. I know that for sure.
Prometheus. Yes.
All right. So, that being said, if you just tune in this episode, you know, there's two episodes before this one where we talked about, the first two, Alien movies and then the Alien 3 and Resurrection. Check those out. Check them out through our iTunes page. Subscribe to us. Give us a rate and review. Help us out on that. And also check us out on social media through facebook.com/popculturerewind. Also follow us on Twitter @popculturerwnd. And tell us what you think. Let us know.
Yeah.
Give us suggestions. Let us know if there's any certain franchise that you'd like for us to recap review. We're down for that.
These franchise reviews are kind of becoming a thing, and they're kind of fun.
And we don't have to stop and think about which movie do we want to talk about.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to work for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything that makes us not think, I'm all for.
Yeah, exactly. And with that being said, thanks once again. We'll see you next time for our big Prometheus review on the next episode. So until then, always remember to pop your culture.
Later. You are an ugly motherfucker.